Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
0141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Rangers confirm their Hampden move is close as Chairman John Bennett apologises to fans for the inconvenience. Celtic reject Atalanta's bid for Matt O'Reilly after last night's 6-4 win over Queen's Park, and Stuart Kettlewell says they'll be playing hardball over Lennon Miller. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Mark Wilson.
Yes, pre-season games are well underway and players are coming in and players are leaving, and the League Cup is just round the corner. But the big story is, where will Rangers be playing? And it looks like they've taken a step closer to being at Hampden for the foreseeable future until Ibrox gets ready. You know, an unfortunate situation for all involved, but at least it's a step closer to a home for them for the time being.
When we come into these summer shows, you always think of what are the talking points going to be this summer. You think, you know, the Euros, what Scotland have done in the European Championship. You think of transfers, you think of pre-season matches. I don't think anyone thought that on, what's this, the 11th of July, we'd be discussing the fact that Rangers will be playing the first few games, still undetermined at the moment, at Hampden for the new season.
Well, nobody would have thought that. Look, I said last week, being one of our biggest clubs and globally recognised, nobody would think that. Now, top teams, of course, go through stadium redevelopments and they increase capacity and they add on extra bits to bring it up to standard. But I don't think anybody would have expected this late in the day for a club of the size of Rangers to then discover that they had major construction work to be done in their stadium. And it kind of derails everything at the start of a season. Look, they may go to Hampden, and they've been there plenty of times before, and they may play fine, but I'm sure Philip Clement, and I'm sure the board, and I'm sure the Rangers fans, and all the incoming players would have hoped for a fresh start this season at their home stadium at Ibrox. So, not the ideal preparations that the Rangers manager would have wanted, but at least they've got somewhere for the time being.
Well, it is huge news, and I'm sure plenty of you have some opinions on it. We've talked about it a few times, but today is the official confirmation. Rangers have said in a statement that they are in the final stages of negotiations with the Scottish FA to secure Hampden as its temporary home until Ibrox works are complete. So give us a call, 0141 951 1025. What do you make of it? Maybe you're a Rangers fan that's just happy that there is now some confirmation. Maybe you're concerned about what it could mean for the team in the opening stages of the campaign. Maybe you're a supporter of a different team that has some opinions as well. 0141 951 1025, or you can send us a tweet at ClydeSSB. I think there will be some relief from Rangers supporters that the club have now come out with a statement in the last hour or so confirming that, you know, the talks are not only taking place, they're in the final stages of negotiations, because it seemed that everyone really was in the dark for quite a long time.
Yeah, well, the silence was deafening, and I think within the Rangers support, those who had shelled out money for a season ticket and had made plans, like everybody does, every fan does, to go to these games, of course there was concern. And like, there was only silence because Rangers board probably didn't know where they were going with this. There was so many variables in this situation. There's so much to take into account when you're moving from a 50,000 seater stadium to try and find somewhere else that'll accommodate your fan base. So there was a lot of to and fro, I'm sure. Murrayfield was looked at, Hampden, those were the two obvious choices. But when you really boiled it down, everybody, surely everybody, would have preferred Hampden. We spoke about the cost implications for fans with the season ticket they've already paid. How do the people based in the West here, how do they get, you know, transported in and out? Was the club paying for that? So all that's kind of taken away if it's Hampden. At least it's in Glasgow. At least you've got 50,000 seats there that you can probably move block by block. But simple things, I mean, people are sentimental and protective about their seat that they choose at Ibrox. They choose that seat because they love it. They've been there for years. And imagine if you're put behind the goal at Hampden or something like that.
It's a very different view behind the goal at Hampden.
It's a totally different experience at Hampden. And I'm not having a go at the National Stadium. I think we spoke on here enough about the pros and cons of Hampden. But as an Ibrox, that's for sure. And the fans, the Rangers fans, will find that out. And they've been there for cup finals, but when they're taking over the full stadium, it's going to be a different experience for them. But they just have to make the best of it. Of course, there's other complications, Andrew, you were chatting about earlier, the European stuff. That all needs to be ironed out as well. And the Rangers board will be well aware of that.
Well, Rangers fans, what do you make of it? 01419511025. Maybe you've got some thoughts on these quotes from Chairman John Bennett in the club statement today. He added, first of all, I'd like to apologise on behalf of the club for the uncertainty that this delayed project has caused to our season ticket holders, hospitality clients, partners and to the wider support of this football club. The number of variables in this situation has made it extremely difficult to bring the one thing we all crave, certainty. He goes on to say, nevertheless, we are closing in on the most immediate solution, a suitable venue at which to fulfil our fixtures and house our support. While the ongoing delay means the club is unable to fix a date for our return to Ibrox, we anticipate that this will become clearer upon delivery of the necessary materials to Glasgow Rangers. Thanks to Scottish FA and the SPFL for their strong support in working towards this solution. The club wholeheartedly appreciates the continued patience of our supporters while we work through the most trying of situations. He finishes by saying, I intend to give a fuller personal update by the end of July. There are a few things that stick out there, Mark. I think one of them is the fact that they're unable to fix a date for return, which I think would be a concern.
Yeah, it would be, but like anybody that knows it's got building work done in their house or contacted any person to do a job in their house, it's never guaranteed. And it usually just runs on and it runs on. So
slightly bigger task than fixing up your bathroom as well, Mark.
I have to downsize now, Andrew, now that I've retired. But jobs just very rarely go to plan. So it's not going to be completed early. You wouldn't think anyway. So that's a real problem for the Rangers fans. But right to mention, the hospitality packages, the people who work in hospitality. I heard Roger saying the other night, you know, all those small things, that kind of level of employment at Ibrox, how does that work? How does that get shifted to Hampden? It is a real mess. And if any Rangers fans are like me and my thoughts, whose fault? Where does the blame lie with us? Because it must fall on somebody's lap that they must have known this was a possibility months and months and months ago. And they've chosen the wrong window to try and address this. It should have been done much sooner, should have been done way before it started, because this is going to run and run for it seems like a lengthy period.
01419511025. On the phones, Norrie is a Rangers fan in Bargeddy. Norrie, what are you making of it all?
Good evening, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Guys, it's obviously there's a situation there. I think it's been predicted that Rangers will have to play maybe 4 home games at Hampden, maybe 5, I'm not sure about that there. So we have to go back to the 94-95 season when Celtic were rebuilding Celtic Park. They played their whole season there at Hampden. So this is not some kind of major disaster. What they're trying to create now is a better infrastructure for the fans. Okay, I've heard they've let down with some construction deliveries or whatever. I don't want to get into the politics of that. However, if that's the situation, that's the situation. We have to deal with it. I'm just happy we're not going through to Edinburgh. No disrespect to Murrayfield, a wonderful stadium. I've been there a few times. However, if that's what we've got to do, we've got to do that.
Is that just the main thing now, Norrie? Because there was a lot of uncertainty. There still will be a bit of uncertainty going forward just in terms of timescale, but just happy that there's now that confirmation from the club. There are quotes from John Bennett that they've come out and said, look, it's going to be Hampden.
Confirmed, I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah, so there was a statement from Rangers today saying they're just in the final negotiations with the Scottish FA at the moment to secure the deal for Hampden. So Rangers wouldn't be putting that out if they thought that there was a possibility it would fall through. So I would expect that in the next few days there'll be the official confirmation.
Has Rangers made any official confirmation how many matches they were likely to play at home at Hampden?
No, not yet. So it says that they are unable to confirm that at the moment. It will be clearer upon delivery of the necessary materials. That's the steel that obviously needs to be delivered to Glasgow, but it says they are unable to fix a date for the return to Ibrox. Is that a concern at all, or are you quite relaxed about the situation?
Well, I wouldn't say entirely relaxed about it, but it's a solution. And the reason why, it's not as if the roof's caved in Ibrox and put the fans' welfare in any way in danger. So if that's what we've got to do, we've got to do that. I remember Scottish international matches, sometimes they weren't played at Hampden, they were played at Ibrox, and they were played at Celtic Park. So if this is the solution, then thank you, SFA, as well, for putting their hand out there to help Rangers and help the SPL. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I think the SFA will be doing okay out of it as well, because it is a rental deal, so Rangers will be needing to pay the money. There is the sort of off-the-pitch stuff that we've talked about. It sounds like it could be a bit of a logistical nightmare. That's something Rangers are going to have to deal with, Mark. On the pitch, do you think it could cause Rangers any sort of issues being away from the stadium they're used to playing at? I've seen a thread of thought, certainly, with European games that Ibrox, you know, seems to come alive on European nights, has helped Rangers in nights where they've needed that help, maybe, to get that extra few percent. Will they be able to get that at Hampden in what are vital Champions League qualifiers?
Well, time will tell, won't it, to see how the players react to different surroundings. Like, you'd like to think not. You'd like to think that the players are professional enough to just go and do the job in hand, no matter which pitch they're on. But, of course, some will be comfortable in their surroundings. So guys who have been there a long time, and Tavernier and Goldson, and guys who have had good experiences at Ibrox, Butland, they remember playing there. They like playing in that environment. So you're taking them out of that. Can they perform, you know, consistently, consecutively at Hampden to a good standard? You'd like to think so. The only difference was with Celtic, they were rebuilding their full stadium, so everybody knew it was coming. I think it's a shock and, you know, the short time scale
this is delayed construction work. I think back in the 94-95 season, it was essentially put in place that because it was a huge redevelopment of Celtic Park,
everyone knew where they were,
would play at Hampden for the 94-95 season. That is the difference, is that essentially Rangers had planned for this to be ready for the start of the new season, and it hasn't been ready. But I suppose the thing that Norrie will be happy about is that the solution has now seemingly been found.
Well, the thing that Rangers fans should be happy about is the solution is in Glasgow, and that's the way it should be. That's the way it should have been from minute one. But again, to try to negotiate deals like this must be incredibly difficult. But it was the thought of Murrayfield and Rangers fans travelling from the west to the east, and the cost implications of that, I think it would have been a bit farcical. So it is a positive that they've got Hampden, but it's just the short time frame for people that's taking everybody back. But once they've got it confirmed, they should be looking to move forward. They should be looking to communicate with their own fan base about where they're going to be situated and seated, because, again, that's a big thing to people who they're sitting with. People buy season tickets to be in social groups as well, to sit with their pals or sit in the same block. Is that going to be the case? I'd imagine it is, but I'm sure the people who've put their hand in their pocket want to know that.
Norrie, we were talking about the effect on the pitch. Is that a concern to you at all, that it could affect the team in a negative manner, playing in a different stadium, not maybe having that Ibrox atmosphere?
Well, my personal opinion, it's only my personal opinion, it shouldn't, no. I don't understand the negativity about that there. The fans that come in there, it's their national stadium, where normally we play, if we're fortunate enough to do that, of course, semi-finals and finals. So the guys are used to that kind of atmosphere in there. The pitch is maybe bigger, as they talk about. I don't know. The stadium itself, there's no worry about that there. I don't see a problem about that at all. So, therefore, I would say, moving forward, let's get this situation sorted out at Ibrox. And again, I repeat myself, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm right, I don't know. It was out with Rangers board, which actually happened in this situation. They have been planning this for months and months ahead of the start of the new season. It's not happened. Deal with it and move on. And just on a wee lighter note, I'll probably get slated for this. This will probably give Rangers more practice for semi-finals and finals coming up this season.
What do you think, Mark?
That's an advantage to them. I don't think it should be allowed. Make them play elsewhere. By the way, the players that are in the squad have got plenty of practice of playing at Hampden, and look, they know the environment. It's just different. I'll go back to my experience.
I've been light-hearted here.
I know. But my experience of playing at Hampden, I never enjoyed it. I've said before in this show, never quite enjoyed it. Never quite enjoyed how far the fans were away from the pitch. I much preferred playing, you know, in tighter grounds. Like, the Rangers players just need to adapt. Norrie's right in that respect. There's nothing that can be done now. It's a positive step finding a destination. And the management and the playing staff just have to get their heads around it and get on with the job in hand.
Well, let's hear a bit from... Thank you very much to Norrie, first of all, for his contribution. Let's hear from Stuart Kettlewell, because he's been speaking about this today. Motherwell are the first team that will be visitors of Rangers at Hampden in the new season. Stuart Kettlewell says the switch from Ibrox is no issue for them.
Not at all, no. No, I was asked this question hypothetically a couple of weeks ago because we didn't quite know exactly what that would look like and where that was going to be. A number of things mentioned. Murrayfield was one that was thrown in there. Hampden obviously thrown in there. It doesn't change anything for me at all. You know, they're certainly not sitting here firing shots at anybody because of their situation. Very simply, on the given date, we'll have to play against Rangers. Anytime we do, they're a good side and it's always a difficult day. It's always a tough game. But you know, you're going to a place that I know very, very well. Played a lot of games there, certainly my days at Queen's Park. You're going to one of the best stadiums in the country, and what will be a big crowd and all these different factors that are always involved in it. But I don't really focus on the surroundings too much. I focus on what's on the pitch. So no excuses from our side of it. No change in our mindset and mentality. But we've got a few hurdles to cross before we get to that one.
Do you see that, Mark, for an opposition side going to play Rangers? Do you think opposition would rather go and play Rangers at Hampden than they would at Ibrox? Do you think it makes much of a difference at all?
I would think so, because technically it's not our home ground. I think when you look through a league season, and if you get Rangers in a league game at Ibrox, they're obviously heavy favourites. I think that's watered down a touch when you play them in a semi-final or a final. Everybody thinks they've got a shot at that because the surroundings are a bit different. Maybe it's because there's a split or a larger portion of your supporters in the ground to represent you. That's not going to be the case, of course, with Rangers taking up the majority of the stadium. But I think you can only hope that it unsettles Rangers, and you hope that their players aren't there, and you hope that the new players that come in just haven't quite adjusted to these quite odd surroundings. But on the flip side, if you're Rangers fans, you look at the pitch and you think, well, it's the same grass, it's the same lines as Ibrox, so surely they can perform the same. So that's the kind of view from both points. But you've got to try and take any positive. If you're Stuart Kettlewell, you probably say to your players before it, an hour before it, look, this is working in our favour, let's go out and take advantage of this.
I'm sure there are plenty more thoughts on that, so give us a call, 01419511025. Celtic fans, I want to hear what you make of the news that Atalanta have bid for Matt O'Riley. That has been turned down, but they're expected to go in with a second offer. Maybe you've got some thoughts on that 6-4 win over Queen's Park last night. There's been talk of Lennon Miller today. Stuart Kettlewell's been speaking about him. So any thoughts, 01419511025.
01419511025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson in the studio with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, brought to you by UK Debt Expert. UK Debt Expert has helped 250,000 people deal with debt. That's about five times the capacity of Hampden, and 45,000 of those are here in Scotland. So if you're struggling with debt you can't control, talk to UK Debt Expert. There is a solution for you. Check out ukdebtexpert.co.uk. Of course, it is Hampden we have been speaking about. Rangers confirming today that they are finalising talks to have Hampden as their temporary home for the start of the season. 01419511025 if you've got any thoughts on that. George is a Rangers fan in Kirkcaldy. George, how are you tonight?
Good, stuck in traffic on my way home from Perth, but car on fire, happy days.
Good stuff. What are you thinking then?
So, my point is, so I got the football with my two sons, right, and we sit in the government stand. Now, I'm not part of that friends and family. So when we get shifted to Hampden, are we all going to get split up and be in separate seats? My other concern also
we'll,
is...
We'll take that first, George, and I'll let you come back in, because these are the types of questions that Rangers fans are going to need the answers to and will want the answers to very quickly, Mark. John Bennett has put out a statement today where he's provided a few quotes. He said there will be a fuller, more personal update at the end of July. But I think there'll probably be quite a lot of Rangers fans that will be wanting an update quicker than the end of July, since the league season starts at the start of August.
It's what they're entitled to. As soon as you put your hand in your pocket and you pay astronomical amount of money for a season ticket these days, you're paying for a service and you're entitled to be updated on that service, where you stand when what you've purchased is suddenly shifted. So it's a legitimate concern, I'm sure. Maybe there is just a simple answer. Maybe Rangers will come out and say that they'll move them block by block and they've worked it all out. That would be, I'm sure, for people, fantastic. It might restrict their view or what they're used to, but maybe they have to compromise to sit beside family like George, or you know, long-time friends that people, you know, buy their season tickets in the vicinity of. But it's all these wee problems that, on the face of it, you just think, oh, I'll just move to a 50,000-seater stadium. There's so much attached behind the scenes to getting things right. It's going to take a wee bit of negotiating. But the fans are entitled to answers, and I'm pretty sure the sooner the better for most of them.
I think there are just so many things that you don't think about as the fan experience going to a game, in terms of catering, in terms of hospitality, in terms of where will supporters, clubs that maybe have space for their bus normally, yeah, or people that have access to the car park at Ibrox, yeah, and where are they going to park? There are just so many things that are going to be sorted, and maybe that's why there is going to be a delay in announcing this, because there are so many just minuscule details that just add up and add
up. Well, Hampden's notoriously bad for getting in and out. We realise it ourselves when we go there to cover games, and we have to, you know, get in at the stadium. It's restricted parking, restricting really travel-wise. There's not that same transport link that probably Ibrox has. So all these wee things are, you know, problems, hurdles that has to be overcome. The main point was finding a suitable home. They seem to have done that. Now all the wee other boxes have to be ticked to keep everybody happy.
George?
I agree with everything you're saying. The other concerns, I think you've just hit them on the nail about parking. I mean, I'm in the Sandy Jardine stand, so, and I don't get wet when I'm sitting. Every time I seem to get a ticket at Hampden, you're right in the front and you get soaked. So that's another thing that you've got to try and look at. Hey, you're going to be happy, you're getting put in a seat that you're getting wet if it's raining.
Yeah, I think, Mark, there is pretty much a guarantee that there are going to be people that are going to be worse off out of this. There may be people that are better off as well, just in terms of their seat and their view and whatever else, but there is only so much Rangers can really do to provide for those. And you can understand the frustrations of supporters that will feel they're worse off because of the move, but Rangers will feel that there's only so much they can do to provide the best they possibly can,
I suppose. And I was just going to say, this is where Rangers may ask their support just to be patient and come along with them in this. And I can see both sides. I can see why fans would be disgruntled at this. If you've paid, what, £400 to £600 on a season ticket or whatever it is it costs these days, and you're getting housed somewhere else in a poorer seat than what you were promised, then of course you're going to be angry. But if you're Rangers, of course you need your support backing you, and you need them to come along with you on this one. It's a hard time for the club, I'm sure. Something that they didn't envisage, and they just want to get through. So I can see both sides, but if I was a fan, I'd certainly be asking questions and wanting answers.
The ins and outs of getting out to Hampden, like you say, is a nightmare logistically for us coming through Fife, right? But I heard the guy on earlier on that he's talking about, like, I know Rangers are based in Glasgow, but there's loads of supporters out with Glasgow and go and watch them, so why would they not put it to Murrayfield?
Well, I mean, Glasgow's surely the better solution than Murrayfield, George. I know there are a lot of supporters that come from outside of Glasgow, but there'll be a lot more that stay in Glasgow.
I mean, there's about four or five buses leave for Fife, I mean, alone, so you're not telling me, but that's my views on it anyway, but I mean,
I don't think we can dispute the fact that I wouldn't be able to quantify it, but surely there are more Rangers fans going to Ibrox that live in and around the Glasgow
buses.
Area than come from Fife, surely.
Yeah.
No, I'm not just on about Fife.
I know you mean further afield. And you, look, people will travel across from Ireland, people will come up from England, people will come from elsewhere, but I think I'm sure it will be that the better solution is that Rangers are staying in Glasgow, surely.
Without doubt, you know, and I get George's point. People travel from all over to go and see Rangers play, but they've got in their head right away, wherever they're coming from, if it's Ireland, if it's England, if it's Fife, they know they're travelling to Glasgow to see Rangers. So to uproot that and say, oh, now you're travelling to Edinburgh, you're changing something that doesn't need change. You're changing a city as well as a stadium. So if you can keep it in the same city, it just makes more sense.
George, in terms of on the field, do you think it will make a difference, a big difference to how Rangers perform at all?
I would say so, because Hampden's not the greatest pitch neither. It doesn't seem to hold the water neither, I think. You look at Ibrox here the last couple of years, for the start of the season, there wasn't a lot of change on the pitch for the grass. It was really nice come the end of the season. It was still looking good. As Hampden, I think, once it gets a couple of games on it, it'll cut up in my views, but might be wrong. But
it's an interesting point, that, because when you've got your home stadium, you're in control of your pitch, mm-hmm. and what you do with it, what length you cut it, if you keep it a bit longer. Remember, you know, Craig Levein all those years ago at Tynecastle, trying to stop Celtic playing. But simple things like that. If you move to Hampden, how does that work? Is that the Hampden groundsmen, the groundspeople that are just, it's what they put on? So that's quite an interesting point. I think Celtic Park and Ibrox are superior surfaces to Hampden. I think we've seen that over the years. I think we see that Hampden tries their best, and it seems to be in a cycle. Every 3 or 4 years, it seems anyway. Somebody will correct me on that, but it seems like they're replacing it, or we get to a semi-final and it's waterlogged and it's heavy and they're trying to...
Because the plan was to fully replace it this summer. The plan was to fully rip it up, but I think they're just, you know, tending to it to make sure that it gets to a point where it's good to play on and a decent surface, but it's not going to be the full renovation that they were planning.
Well, that's no ideal either, because if it was being ripped up, it's been ripped up for a reason. And Celtic and Rangers are used to playing on pristine surfaces. They invest a lot of money into those surfaces to make them the best in the country. And look, but there's been seasons that, I think Celtic Park last season wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't say the same for Ibrox. I tend to think that Ibrox is always in top condition. So again, that's something that Rangers are going to have to give up. And that does affect the manager and the playing staff then. So that's nothing to do with the surroundings. That's about the product, what they can serve up on the pitch. So Philippe Clement and his staff will be hoping that is in top condition for when the season starts.
Well, thank you very much to George. Any more thoughts on that? 0141 951 1025. Still plenty of time to add to that discussion. Another story today that broke not long before we came on air is one I wanted to look at. Matt O'Reilly, a bid from Atalanta has been rejected by Celtic. Reports from various places, a report specifically from Football Scotland saying that the bid was £15 million. Mark, £15 million Celtic have rejected. Is that one you just fully expect Celtic to toss away and say, well, come back with more money or don't come back at all?
Yeah, looks like the beginning of the end for Matt O'Reilly, I think. I think when you get a serious contender like Atalanta coming in, finish fourth in Serie A, and the starting
Europa
bid,
League winners.
Yeah, the starting bid is £15 million. You know they've got a lot in reserve to then keep adding to that. And I think
the talk is they are expected to come back in with a second offer.
Yeah,
but
of course
it just depends how much they're willing to spend.
Well, it's like, look, shoes on the other foot. Look at Celtic Weida. You know, they offer the low ball offer, known fine well. They'll have to go to X amount to get Ida to come. And Atalanta are no different. They'll test Celtic's hands with £15 million, and probably there'll be some add-ons in there. Celtic obviously want a bigger price up front, as well as the add-ons, I'd imagine. And I'm pretty sure the clubs, before the August transfer window's over, the clubs will get there. So Matt Riley's been a fantastic player for Celtic. Fitted the model perfectly. The model that keeps getting drummed into Celtic fans, this is the way we're doing it. We're buying cheap and we're selling big. He's right there. He's... you know, you look at in comparison to Jota, what was Jota? 6 million to go for 25. Matt Riley, 1.5 million, run about that, to go for, I'd imagine, closer to 20. That's good business.
Is that what you think? You think it would be around 20 million mark?
But I still think there's scope there to go up dramatically. And I think with a club like Atalanta and Serie A and past Europa League winners, they've certainly got the finance there. He's a Danish international. I know he missed out in the Euros, but he should have been there. And I'm pretty sure he'll represent Denmark again. All those add-ons, I think it'll take it closer to 20 million. And as I say, I think it'll be the beginning of the end. Now, once you get somebody like that bidding at this time of the season and it's concrete, it's not a January bid that then just gets forgot about when teams have other, you know, ambitions and maybe, you know, their plans change a bit. This is Atalanta gearing up for the season ahead, and that will not be the last bid to have.
01419511025. Ross is a Celtic fan in Pollock. Ross, just first of all, is it a concern that there seems to be, you know, every week more and more clubs circling around Matt O'Riley?
Yeah, it's starting to get a bit worrying. Hope you're well, Andrew and Mark, with the mill.
You too.
No, I think the closer it gets to the start of the season and he's still here, part of me thinks, right, okay, he might stay, but I think if he was going to go, I would rather him just go nice and early and we know he's away rather than lingering on. But I think he will be away this window. I think somebody will come in and Celtic will accept a bid. The only concern, I think, for us Celtic fans at the moment is that each day goes on and we're still no further forward with a goalkeeper, and we know that Joe Hart was leaving months ago. And I just think that we, with Celtic under Ange, everything was in place, ready to go. Ange kind of seemed to know what he wanted, and nice and early with Brendan and co. It seems to be the same story with Celtic. Every transfer window, it keeps lingering, and we're still no further forward. And I think that's a concern the closer it gets to the start of the season, and we're still not further forward with a goalkeeper.
I'll take the Matt O'Riley point first, then I'll move on to the goalkeeping one. Ross is saying that he'd rather, if Matt O'Riley was going to leave, that it was earlier in the window than later in the window. Is that a hard balance to strike for Celtic? Because quite a lot of the time, when it is bigger offers, it does tend to be closer to the deadline when teams are a bit more desperate and are willing to spend more money. But then the flip side of it is Celtic have less time to get a replacement in. Maybe earlier, if you want to do it that way, you're maybe having to accept slightly less than we get later in the window. It's always impossible to tell. But.
So, look, first and foremost, it's not Matt Riley's fault in any way. He'll just be sitting there and being ready to be told what to do. But I get the point. Celtic can drive a better bargain if it's those last few days of the window. When you say a bit of replacement, maybe they've almost got the replacement. I think Bernardo was always kind of muted as he looks very much like a Riley, sort of plays like him. And now that Celtic, or rumours are that they're interested in getting that over the line.
I think he'd be good enough to step in this season and put in the type of displays. I mean, Matt O'Riley was, what was it, 19 goals, 18 assists, I think it was, in all competitions. Do you think Paulo Bernardo, what we saw of him last season, is good enough for him to, you know, go in and fully replace Matt O'Riley and put in a season like that?
I'd find it hard for him to replicate the season O'Riley said. I thought that was an extraordinary season from Matt O'Riley, and especially when you factor in it was a change of manager as well. Brendan Rodgers coming in, different ideas. O'Riley seemed to flourish. He played well under Ange Postecoglou, but he seemed to flourish under Rodgers, got into the box more frequent. But the argument would be, could Brendan Rodgers then put his ideas onto Bernardo? It seems to have the same kind of makeup, but O'Riley, there was something special with him in possession. I think Bernardo has a good bit to go to get to that level, and that's why you're seeing, you know, bids of 15 million being just rejected. That's why Bernardo might come to Celtic for, what we're talking, run about 4 million or whatever it is.
Yeah, so 4.2, I think, was so the chat recently.
There's a huge gap in transfer value between them. I think there's still a big gap in terms of ability between them, but it might just be a replacement. Who knows?
Well, thank you to Ross. Any more calls on that or anything else? 01419511025. Get those in while I tell you about this. Clyde One. Well, it happened again. There was no winner again on Make Me a Winner because it went to five rings. That means, well, it's good for you because it's a double rollover. We could make you a winner of £150,000 tomorrow when we make another call, but you need to make sure you're in the draw for it. Text YES to 61025. Do that and you'll get three entries for the price of one. Texts are £2 plus your standard network rate. Enter at Clyde1.com where entries are £2, or you can call 0330 880 4523. Calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and entries since Alice won on Tuesday have rolled over. All the rules for this rail network competition are online. If you get a call from us after 3 o'clock tomorrow, answer it within five rings. Make sure to say "Make me a winner" straight away, and you'll win £150,000 paid into your bank account straight after the call. Text "yes" to 61025 for your chance to win.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, but still time for you to get your calls in. 0141 951 1025. Of course, it was the second semi-final of Euro 2024 last night. We've been playing the pundit predictor with Col Robert the whole way through the tournament. We've not had a winner since pretty much the first time we've played it. It's rolled over and rolled over to £1,000.
Really?
Now, Rosie was the last player
right
on it, and she predicted that it would be a win for Spain, but a win for Netherlands, which means she hasn't won, which means that £1,000 is still available. And make sure to listen in tomorrow, because we guarantee that we will be giving away that £1,000 over the weekend. I'm not telling you how yet, but we will guarantee that that £1,000 will be given away over the weekend. So make sure to listen into that. You can't win it, Mark Wilson, unfortunately.
What would I need to do? Just predict who's going to win this game?
Pretty much, yeah.
Right, Spain. Is that okay, what you needed? Surely, football has got to prevail. The best team, the most attractive team, the best players, some of the best goals have got to beat that England team.
I hate to put a dampener on that theory, but see, when you look back at the previous Euros and the teams that have won it, have pretty much over the last few years not been the best team. Italy weren't the best team at that tournament. Portugal, the tournament before that, weren't the best team at that tournament.
Andrew.
Greece kind of stank the place out, still managed to win the tournament in 2004. But you know what? Spain might do it. Let's get your thoughts on the penalty, finally, before we move on.
It's ridiculous. I mean, ridiculous. So I often view things through the lens of a defender, and I try to think, what could I possibly do there? Apart from just allowing Kane to shoot and go, on you go from 12 yards. And I don't think my manager or my fan base would like me as a defender just to stand there and let the striker shoot. But that's the levels it's getting to for defenders, that they can't make genuine attempts to block the ball. Thought it was ridiculous. Referee got it right on the pitch at the time. But to be, for somebody in VAR to call him over to look at that is incredible.
Even if they thought it was a foul, surely it didn't meet the threshold for...
No, clear and obvious effort. No way. But then it makes you even sicker when you think back to the decision we didn't get.
One, yeah.
And you think somebody in VAR didn't think that was worth even a look. So, ridiculous, they got out of jail. But in fairness to England, they played their best football for that 45 minutes. Second half was a poor affair, but what a goal that is to win it. And I didn't mind seeing that. See, actually, a sub who sat there, probably face tripping them for the full time, but came on and gave his all and got the winner. See the shock in his face? Yeah. It was quite something. But I think the Spanish will do it on Sunday. They've got to.
Enough of that Euro chat. Until tomorrow, where we will be, well, giving away over the weekend £1,000 with Col Robert on the Pundit Predictor. So make sure to tune in tomorrow. Let's go back to the phones. Alan is a Rangers fan in East Kilbride. Alan, what have you got for us tonight?
Evening, gents. How are we? All you all right?
All good. All good. Yourself?
Good, yeah. Just that. My quick predictor for tomorrow, I think Spain will hammer England 3-1. Just to put that out there.
You've got a few days to wait. It is Sunday night, but I get where you're coming from, Alan. There we go.
You're disappointed, Alan. You weren't getting out tomorrow to watch your final. He's told the family.
Maybe I'm wishing it happens quicker than it's now it does, to shut them up, but never mind.
He's bought all the snacks that are going to be out of date by the time the game comes round.
It was just a quick point on Rangers going to Hampden for a temporary short period of time. As a Rangers fan myself, season ticket holder for the best part of 20 years, listen, as a fan, we've just got to follow the team and understand the situation we find ourselves in. And I totally appreciate that some people are going to have to travel from Fife, Ireland and England, what the guys had already said. But I think at this point, you know, going on how close it was last season, I think we've got to get behind the team and the manager and just say, well, listen, this is the situation we find ourselves in, and let's just get behind the team and here it is what it is.
That'll be exactly what the players will be hoping for, because first of all, it's not the players' fault that this is happening. Over the last season or so, more than that, we've seen that there has been at times where there's been a sort of fractious relationship between the supporters and the Rangers players at times. They've been booed off in certain games. They've not had the support they've wanted. But Is this the type of thing that the supporters, well, the Rangers players first of all, will be hoping that the fans can just get behind them, they can all sort of, you know, galvanise through this and they can hope they get the results at
hand? It's a real opportunity that they can spin in their favour. There's no doubt about that. You know, the players and the management don't want to be at Hampden. There's no doubt about that. The fans don't want to be at Hampden. The board, of course, don't want to be at Hampden. But they're all in this together, you know, like Alan says there. And if they all pull in the one direction, they might get some positivity. Bear in mind that it doesn't look like it's going to be a full season at this minute in time. So if you take how many home games, Motherwell, Ross County, Hibs as well into September, you've got an international break.
European qualifier, at least one is in there. There's potentially a Premier Sports Cup last 16. It depends on how long the delay goes on. And on top of that, it depends on... Well, I think that game certainly would be, because I think there's maybe only two game weeks before the last 16. Mm-hmm. So it would all depend on whether Rangers are drawn at home or not in that.
So the Rangers fans would like to think it's not going to be over 30 games or whatever, or well after Christmas. If it's for the beginning of the season, that portion that takes in August, September, maybe October, maybe they can spin it in their favour by that real togetherness.
Alan?
I'm going to ask Mark. Mark, see, as a player yourself, and let's say it was Celtic, it was going to Hampden for the first part of the season. How would you feel about it as a player?
To be honest, I'm not just saying this. I wouldn't like it entirely, just because if I'd been there, if I'd been at Celtic for a large period, 3 years or something, and I was comfortable in my surroundings, I love playing at Celtic Park, which I'm sure every Rangers player does. Of course, I wouldn't like it. Of course, I wouldn't be like taking out that comfort zone where I know my family sit and I know, you know, where the majority of the Rangers fans are and, you know, what to expect from certain parts of the crowd. So it's a big change in environment.
It's disrupting a routine as well, because I imagine that quite a lot of players do have a game day routine that, you know, on a whole match that they'll get into that maybe will be completely thrown out the window because you're playing at a different stadium.
That's it. I mean, Ibrox, the players that have been there for a long time, like myself, I certainly did have a routine where I went into Celtic Park and we had the kit room through the back. You'd go in and sit with the kit man for a bit, or you'd go in and see the physios. So all these wee bits.
You'd go out and sit on the bench after that.
Good one, Andrew, yes, and that is true. But, you know, all these wee things just make players comfortable. And the important thing before a game, an hour and a half before the game, is make the players feel as comfortable as possible. The Rangers players have been to Hampden, so they've got an advantage. They've been there plenty, so they've got an advantage with that. But if you're asking me what I'd prefer, Alan, of course I would prefer playing at my home stadium. But again, they're big boys. They just need to roll up their sleeves and get on with it, unfortunately.
In terms of the new players, is it less disruptive for them because they don't have that experience of playing at Ibrox? They don't really know anything else. They'll just be turning up and playing a game of football for their new
team. Well, they've got a lot to concentrate and fitting into the actual squad, so it's probably less disruptive. I think, though, they would prefer, again, to play in front of an Ibrox crowd to get that out of the way. That was always a big thing for me. Playing your first home game in front of Celtic Park was a huge thing. So for Conor Barron and the like, I'm sure they would be desperate for a run out of Ibrox. They'll need to get out of Hampden, and then, you know, later on in the season when they get back to Ibrox, they've got that to look forward to.
Thank you very much to Alan. We'll have plenty more time tomorrow for more calls on that or anything else. We didn't even really touch on the fact that Celtic played Queen's Park in a friendly last night and it finished 6-4.
It's mad. That's 10 goals. See, when you actually looked at the Celtic team and I looked at that score, I was quite surprised at that. I'm not taking anything away from Queen's Park, but to concede 4 goals and people say, oh, pre-season friendly, it doesn't really matter.
I mean, the back four was very disjointed, wasn't it? Because I think it was Kobayashi and Iwata were the fullbacks. It was Welsh and young Dane Murray that were two centre-backs, Scott Bain in goal. Going forward, there was, you know, still a lot of recognised quality. Matt O'Reilly, Kyogo scored a hat-trick, but, you know, going backwards, say would be the concern, but I suppose Brendan Rodgers will be thinking none of those players will be playing regularly, you would expect this season.
Yeah, but, you know, entertaining for the neutral, no doubt. Plenty of goals, Kyogo, hat-trick again. O'Reilly playing well again. How long will he be there? Who knows? But they're off to America and DC United up next in a couple of weeks.
Where you played them on a baseball pitch,
Baseball pitch, Freddie Adu ran riot. Yeah,
well, was he 15 at that point? That
15
was when he was...
or 15 or 16 and running rings around me.
He was the Lamine Yamal before Lamine Yamal came about, wasn't he?
Well, I made him look like that anyway.
he didn't quite amount to the same type of thing. But thank you very much for listening in tonight. Thank you for your calls. Thank you for your tweets as well. Thank you to Mark Wilson in the studio. We'll be back tomorrow night. I'm sure there will be plenty more talk about Rangers and their move to Hampden. Lots of talk building up to, of course, the competitive action starting this weekend in the Premier Sports Cup. And of course, listen in, because you could win £1,000 on the Pundit Predictor with Col Robert. Thank you very much. I'll be back tomorrow night at 6 o'clock with Hugh Keevans.